May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus asked his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" It appears to be a straightforward question. First, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" This is kind of a mid-course evaluation. In today's gospel reading, we find ourselves at the halfway point in the gospel according to Mark. And Jesus is about to make his journey towards Jerusalem. And before crossing the Rubicon, so to speak, Jesus wanted to know exactly how he and his ministry are perceived by the people, by the general public, and then by his own followers. According to the public, Jesus was comparable to John the Baptist, Elijah, or one of the prophets. They are not far off the mark, but they do not quite get to the heart of the matter. Then Jesus asked this more pointed question, "And you, who do you say that I am?" to the disciples. This is more, there is more in this question than it appears at a first glance. It is very personal. It reminds me of my proposing Susan long time back. As previously arranged, Koshi met Susan for the first time at a friend's house in Boston, and then went on a date, something that would not have been possible if we were in India. After that weekend, I came back to the seminary in Princeton and told my friends about my Boston adventure and my meeting this amazing woman named Susan. I told them Susan is the one that I will marry. In my guts, I knew that she liked me too. My friends at the seminary told me the next thing I should do is to propose her. Well, we don't do that in India. And it is usually done by the parents and the relatives from both sides. But I did not want my relatives here to do that for me. And so, mustering all the strength I had, I got on the phone the next day and called Susan and popped the question, "Will you marry me?" And there was a pregnant pause. And then she said, "Let me think about it." Of course, I felt like an idiot. But am I not glad today that she took the time to think about whether she would want to spend the rest of her life with me? Here we are, folks, 41 years later. Jesus asked, "And you, who do you say that I am?" Peter, so often the first to speak, responds, "You are the Messiah." We who know the whole story, that Peter was right in giving that answer. He was right. Right answer, but wrong premise. We see that unlike in the other Gospels in Mark, Jesus doesn't congratulate Peter for making that right answer. Instead, he goes on to say how wrong Peter is in his understanding of what a Messiah is. Peter's understanding of Messiah comes from the traditions of Judaism. The title Messiah in Hebrew or Christ in Greek was associated in Jewish tradition with an anointed king, a royal figure from the line of David, expected to come and free Israel from the Gentile oppressors, purify the people, and restore Israel's independence and glory. Peter's response, as well as Jewish expectation, are perhaps not so very different from what we want also in a savior. We also want someone strong and powerful, someone who will rescue us from our troubles and defeat our enemies. Too often today, some of the tele-evangelists present Jesus as a superhero who solves every problem for us and as a guarantor of prosperity and success. Nothing could be further from what Jesus has in mind. Our response, who do you say that I am? Our response to, who do you say that I am? Reveal more about us than about Jesus. Our answer often is, who do we want Jesus to be for us? Our answer comes from our projection of our desire. Who do you say that I am? Is at the same time also, who will you say that you are? It is one thing to say what others think of Jesus, but it's a totally different thing to say who Jesus is to us. In answering the question of Jesus' identity, we are also giving voice to our own identity. And think about it. Jesus is asking, who is Jesus to me? And how do you want Jesus to be for me? And that is the answer that we give in our own projection, in our own way of seeing Jesus. When we are asked to answer who Jesus is to us, we are being asked to reveal what we believe openly. What we believe openly to the people. How do we confess Christ today? In being asked to share your answer to who do you say that I am, there is an invitation. An invitation is there for us, for all of us, to reflect on what we give witness to today. Peter gave the right answer to the question, Jesus as the Messiah. But remember, it was Peter, when the time came for him to identify with Jesus at the most vulnerable time in Jesus' life, he denied him 3 times. How do we bear witness to Jesus today? When Jesus comes to us today in all the various different vulnerabilities, do we stand with him or desert him? Today we must ask ourselves the question, do we understand the meaning, the implications, the ramifications of what truly following Jesus is all about? What is the meaning of the cross? What does it mean to deny ourselves? It is easy to mouth the Nicene Creed. It is easy to say the baptismal covenant. Today, you and I are challenged through this scripture to go beyond parroting these words, these creeds, Sunday after Sunday, if we really want to be true Christians and disciples of Christ. What is cross? Someone said, it has been said that crosses are fashioned of 2 pieces. The one, the will of God, and the other, my own will. Place these two wills side by side, there is no cross, only pleasure. It is only when God's will is laid across my will that there is pain and sorrow. On confessing Christ today, the person who comes to my mind is Martin Niemöller. Some of you probably know about him. He was a German Lutheran pastor born in Lippstadt, Germany, in 1892. He was anti-communist, and he supported of Adolf Hitler's rise to power at first. But when Hitler insisted on the supremacy of the state over religion, Niemöller formed a group of German clergymen opposed to Hitler. Subsequently, he was arrested in 1937 and eventually confined to concentration camps. He was released by the Allies in 1945 from the camp. And he continued his career in Germany as a clergyman and leading voice for penance and reconciliation. He is best known for this poem he penned. First, they came for socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Can Jesus count on us, St. Peter's Church, as a confessing church today? Do we as a church dare to be a confessing church? And do we take that, or do we take the path of least resistance and hold on to our privileges?